Welcome to Creator's Playbook. I'm Sarah.
I'm Steven.
And we are here to talk about portals.
Portals!
Yay!
I have so many questions. Okay, wait. What's the but?
The but, we're gonna hop in one portal and we'll see you on the other side of the intro song.
Ooh! Are we on the other side of the intro song?
Yes, I think we are now.
Oh, okay.
After
welcome everybody to the Creator's Playbook. On this podcast, we actually, Sarah, tell us, what do we do on this podcast?
Well, we do creative stuff. We create stories.
we create ideas.
And then we talk about story tropes and story ideas and great things that you can do to elevate what you're doing. Well, not just stories. I mean, any type of artistic wonderment.
Anywhere that storytelling is involved, that is what we do. We hope that this podcast and this show just gives you a little burst of inspiration so that you can create incredible stories of your own.
Yay.
So you said we're talking about portals. Okay,
yes.
Tell me what aspect of portals? Because I feel like this is a huge subject.
Pretty big, but then it also can be like you can actually summarize it pretty quickly. So what is a portal?
Mm-hmm.
A portal is a gateway, a doorway. It could be magical. It could be scientific. And it links two places, two points in time, two points in space. You enter one and you come out completely where you were not previously. It's, for instance, you have fantasy portals such as like Narnia and Alice in Wonderland. You got science fiction with Stargate and the connection of wormholes that transports the scientists and the adventurers to different planets. You have, I mean, even there's that video game called Portal with GLaDOS. Oh,
it's so good. It is one of my favorite all-time games. I will put that out there.
I didn't play it, but I watched the segments and that ending song that everyone was obsessed with for the longest time.
Both of them, Portal 1 and 2, got a great ending song.
Yeah, so portables. Portals, they're just a really great story device in that usually a character needs, sometimes a character is feeling a little lost. Sometimes they need a little guidance or unsure of their circumstances. And through going through the portal, they end up in a new place. Sometimes they're like the hero of the story and they're the one who's going to save the day. Sometimes it's just a way to escape. There's just many different ways. Sometimes it's just a handy way of exploration that can be used. So what are your thoughts?
I think the thing that really kind of gets me the most in subjects of portals are probably where they come from. Like, I know that in space, when we're talking wormholes, they tend to be a lot more spontaneous in that they're just two points that are connected in space.
And they may or may not be controllable.
Exactly. I know that when we see those a lot in different sci-fis, Star Trek in particular is where we probably see these the most. I could be wrong on that.
I was thinking Stargate. I mean, every episode was a portal.
I'm going to wrap back around to that. Because in Star Trek, they came and go. Some wormholes were unstable. Some wormholes would throw you out if they would break or splinter.
Dang, if Voyager would have just found that portal to get home, we would not have had seven whole seasons.
Here's the thing, though. Voyager, on multiple accounts, I can think of two even off the top of my head, where they found, you know, slipstreams or portals back to Earth, and one deteriorated before they could even use it.
Yeah.
And one was intentionally closed. Like, one was literally damaged on purpose. And so, you know,
I mean, they had to have seven seasons.
I mean, did they have to have seven seasons? I'm glad that they did. I really, really enjoyed Voyager.
Did we need all that work stuff at the end?
Well, that's another episode.
that's another debate.
that's a whole one. I do like where the series went, but that's not what this episode is about today. Now, Stargate, on the other hand, these wormholes are extremely intentional. And the thing that's kind of interesting about Stargate is that the wormholes literally can go through planets. They can, you know, literally be anywhere. And I've always kind of wondered how the wormholes in Stargate are self-contained in that way, that you can literally walk on the other side of the Stargate and not be warped through the wormhole. I never figured out how that worked.
It's science fiction magic. It's suspension of belief going on there. You just know that there's two points, two gates. gates and that somehow mm-hmm. they link together and you step through one, you come out the other in a matter of seconds and you
after
just go
watching
with
all
it.
The stars whisk by, I think that was probably my favorite part of the original Stargate movie was watching all the stars just like shoot by. Oh, love it, love it, love it.
Do you want to hear the prompt?
Oh, well, I was going to mention, because those are scientific portals, but then you have stuff like where you have portals that you literally can't see, but you can walk through in the yeah. form of, actually, Narnia kind of takes several different methods and uses of portals or projecting people into the lands of Narnia. But the one that's most famous, of course, is that wardrobe.
Yes.
Where the wardrobe, for some reason, doesn't end. You just keep on walking through the coats until the coats turn into trees, and suddenly you're in a different world. In that sense, the portal is much more mysterious. It is controlled by a higher power, and it's very selective.
And also, too, like they were able to go back. There yeah. was more free, like whereas where with Alice in Wonderland, she fell through the rabbit hole, and the whole story is her trying to get back because she
and
didn't
not
know
being
how
able to find that way back necessarily. Yeah.
Would you consider Wizard of Oz a portal story?
If you look at the tornado itself as the portal, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would think so. That's a highly hostile portal, I guess you could say.
So, with that in mind, are you ready to hear the story?
Yeah, I'm excited for your story. Yes, please.
Louise carried a tall stack of books to the table, carefully setting them down. "Is this your proof?" Carl said, unimpressed. "These are children's stories. I need more quantifiable evidence than this." "Ah, yes." Louise paused. "But there's truth in fiction." Carl raised an eyebrow, grabbing the top book. "There's truth in fact." He thumbed through 20 tales of the glittering sphinx and then threw the book on the table. "I'm done." "No," Louise ran after him. "Just give this a chance." Carl turned back to her. "I'm not trusting anyone who believes in nonsense." "It's not nonsense," she said, running to block his exit. "Yes, I do believe these stories. I believe dragons once guarded the sky, that serpents patrolled the oceans. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't believe these stories are fiction. I believe they're histories. A little watered down and convoluted, but they're stories of our past."
"So where are they?" Carl asked, steadying his patience. "Where did these creatures go?"
"I believe," Louise said, closing her eyes. "I believe in the gateways, the portals that open between worlds. They're barely mentioned, only in a few ancient texts erased from modern translations and bedtime stories, but these gateways are the key. I believe these magnificent beasts left us and went through those gateways. I don't know how, but I believe, somehow, we can find these gateways and open them once again. I'm going to find them." And that is the prompt.
How cute. Okay. So Louise is looking for the mythical side of the history that has been whisked away into legend.
Yeah.
So do we have any indication if this is our world? Is this a different world?
Oh, this is a different world.
Obviously, it's a little bit more modern in nature mm-hmm. in that, you know, they're in a hall. She's carrying books. So I would probably place this at current kind of style of technology.
Yeah, it is.
You know, part of this reminds me a little bit of Kingdom Hearts, actually. You haven't played through any of the Kingdom Hearts games, have you?
No, I haven't. I've just one of those situations where I walk in and walk out. I'm like, oh, that's a really cute scene. And then I'm gone again.
Yeah. Long story short, Kingdom Hearts, you play, you know, one of the main characters. There's different main characters during the different games. Main character that we know the most of is Sora. And in the mythology of Kingdom Hearts, all the worlds used to be a lot more connected. All the worlds had gateways or portals. Hmm. And actually, I think there's even like a bizarre part of the story where the lands actually might have been more connected and then literally split apart. And then the gateways between those worlds were locked behind a key.
That's
so
cool.
Definitely, let's not make this story like Kingdom Hearts because Kingdom Hearts
has a fan base and it's very well established. And we're doing our own thing.
We're doing our own thing. The problem with Kingdom Hearts is that the story, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, wait. Let's edit that out. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
So, Louise. With our story, we have these beasts, these mystical creatures, dragons and serpents and sphinx and probably some fairies. We never know.
Mm-hmm. Leprechauns, maybe?
They've been lost in time. And I think that the knowledge itself has been lost. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what are these portals And do you want to make it fantastical in nature? Do you want to make it scientific? Do you think there was a chance that there was natural means that had these portals? I guess maybe we should just establish whether or not we think these portals are real. But for the sake of the story, I think we pretty much are going there anyways.
Oh, yeah. The portals are definitely real.
We believe Luis. We believe her claim and her ideas.
Off of the top of my head, I would imagine that these are more magical in nature. Mm-hmm. That these mythical creatures definitely chose to leave on their own accord in a magical way. I think if Luis is a human character, it could be quite interesting if they use technology to bridge a portal back to where the mythical creatures are. And so if they're able to amass the right kind of energy to mimic the type of portal or energy used to create the portal, that could be kind of cool. That could be kind of fun. But I kind of want to do a little bit of world building first, because at the beginning of your story, and she's pulling out all of these stories about mythical creatures, and the guy's like, you can't tell me fairy tales. And she's like, no, this is our history. How wild would it be that their ancient documents that they have, their historical things, say there was a great war, you know, 700 years ago that they have record of, and for some reason in the record there are mentions of dragons as an example, and it's just unequivocally written. But nobody today believes it, because that
they've
doesn't make any sense.
It might be like symbolic or a metaphor of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Like the dragon was a storm.
They kind stopped of wiped taking it literally. Off. That in their own history, that these great forces chose sides with the people. Mm-hmm. That maybe they had some favoritism, some countries over another, and they would get involved in conflict. And maybe they were tired of it. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they left.
Because these conflicts were blamed on these mythical creatures.
Well,
we're out. Peace.
I mean,
we're
it gone. Could have been. But what if also they didn't want to be used? They're like, you humans are perpetuating the same thing over and over again. You're not learning from your mistakes.
Yeah.
You keep spreading the same ideas and hate and, you know.
Well, that's something that we're
history repeats. And we're tired of history repeating. And we're tired of helping and then everything just going back to how it was. It's like, if you want real help, then you need to be dedicated to a world where there is no longer conflict, where we can talk and be civil. Mm-hmm. But until that happens, we're gone.
You did mention the Sphinx. And of course, we have the Sphinx from Egyptian mythology. And of course, Egyptian mythology has I guess it is documented. They have documented mythical creatures, right? As part of their writings, which, what if they're more connected than we think? The mythical creatures of old and the world that we're talking about right here. What if our mythical creatures left at the same time that their mythical creatures left?
Do you think maybe it wasn't so, like, it could have been a force of will? But if they were using technology that they didn't want to share that helped these portals stay open, what if something happened on their end that shut everything off?
What if the mythical creatures were kidnapped? Somebody was going to all the worlds, our world included, and kidnapping the mythical creatures and taking them to a world now. What if there's only one world left that has all the mythical creatures, because that's either where they fled to or that's where they were kidnapped?
So are we then saying that these portals are just between two points, like two individual points? You have Earth or their Earth that these characters are from, and then the Earth and the mystical creatures, and they're not bouncing between different mythical worlds? Like it's just a singular mythical world. Or maybe there are multiple universes. Like, is this a world thing? Is this a universe thing? Is this a multi-dimensional thing?
I'm multi-dimensional, multi-world. I think you could go either direction. Mm-hmm. Especially when we're talking more about fantasy. Fantasy opens up many different planes of options that you can go, but I guess science fiction does too. What if something that makes mythical creatures different from animals is that they are connected, or they can tap into the natural portals that our worlds already have? As in, we walk through them and we don't see them, we don't feel them, they don't do anything for us. You have to have a mythical creature who can sense them. And then they can open the doorway. So they're just like doorways that naturally spawn and occur. If somebody wanted to sever our Earth away from other mythical worlds, they had to get rid of all the mythical creatures and either push them out, force them out, kill them. Unfortunately, that would be really sad. But that's the reason why Earth, that's just our ancient history. And now we're talking about Luis and her world, and they have way more documentation about these ancient mythical creatures that used to be there. Is this a Portals episode or a Mythical Creatures episode?
Well, we're world building.
Yeah.
Now, okay, but they're important because we have now established that these mythical creatures have the ability to sense these portals, sense these cracks in time, if you will, that will allow the crossover from one to another. And so then you have to wonder, if they came here, were we going over there? Where's their bridge back and forth? That there might have been humans.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be interesting if when it got cut off, all the mythical creatures left this world, but maybe there were the chosen few, maybe humans that were deemed special or humans of exceptional kindness, I don't know, intelligent, who would have impressed, let's call them mythics, the mythics.
Oh, I like that term. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of cool. The mythics.
So these are humans that have exceeded, proved themselves of being of exceptional virtue and quality, integrity,
intelligence. They're great guardians, if you will.
Yeah. And they were selected by the mythics to enter into this other world. And it'd be interesting if when everything was caught off, it was deemed not appropriate for these exceptional humans, if you will. I don't want to call them exceptional, because I think there's many ways you can be deemed exceptional. But these, the chosen, the chosen just seems so cliche.
Yeah. The protectors.
The protectors, the
guardians. We already said guardians.
You already said guardians. I don't want to say elite either. We'll just call them the selected. I don't know. But the selected humans.
The keepers.
The keepers. Yeah, let's call them the keepers. Okay. The keepers have been, you know, in their world learning and growing. And learning of their technologies and what they're, because I have a feeling that even though they're mythical creatures, I think it'd be cool of that time, way back when, they did have technology. They just didn't share it with us because they didn't trust us with it.
Or it wasn't compatible. Maybe they didn't know how to use it.
That's true. Maybe they didn't know if their technology could work in our world.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we've already established that the mythics have the ability to sense portals. Both in our world and their world. And again,
the mythics are those mythical creatures, correct?
The mythical creatures. And without them, we have no way of knowing when the portals open, which means they're still opening and closing.
Potentially. Oh, and that could be scary.
So, and the question then is, how unstable is that? Have anyone fallen through accidentally? But also, I think, I was just thinking, since we are now in a modern world with our own technology... I was just getting the scene from like Ghostbusters and like where they're going around scanning for ghosts. What if Luis and...
back on Luis's world.
We're here hanging out with Luis and Carl. What if they start creating technologies, you know, kind of like the Ghost Hunters. Also, if you watch any of those Ghost Hunters, they have their little, where they're scanning for wavelengths and they're scanning for different things, seeing an infrared or if there's anything different. What if they become portal hunters and they start scanning? And now the question now, because we're leading into, okay, I think we got some world building under our belt. Do you like the idea of them being all, you know, taking a scientific approach to this? Trying to find
Honestly, I really do, because if they get to the point where they actually can find portals, I imagine the first story in this set of stories would just be the wild adventure through a single portal if they're able to open it and get through it. And I'm pretty sure that that entire first story would be them trying to get back through the portal to their world.
You know, it would be really funny if they create the scanner devices and they don't know if it works or not. And they do stumble upon a portal. But what if they stumbled upon it accidentally and they thought they... stumbled upon it technologically, but they didn't realize that it was just a portal opening up by chance and they go through. And so they think they have the ability to control the portals and or sense them, but they don't because they haven't fully worked it out yet.
Sure.
And so now they're in this world. Okay. So now they're in the mythics world. What's going on?
And who opened it?
Yeah.
Did it open by fluke chance?
Do you think maybe the mythics, because they have the ability to open portals, maybe they have the ability to look through portals as well. So they've been monitoring and watching this whole time, deeming when they may or may not be allowed, or if they want to even come back, maybe they're content where they're at.
What if it was just a complete accident? And say...
The idea of the mythics monitoring and they just stumble through.
Oh, I'm certain that the mythics are monitoring. I believe that they're way more aware than what they would ever anticipate. Of course, our main characters, I mean, Luis, Carl, they don't know what they're dealing with. What if, no. though, there's like a little pixie who comes over to Luis's world? Should we give it a name? Should we name Luis's world?
Well, are you gonna have the little fairy come? Are they going to meet a mythic on our side, or are they just going to stumble through and then find the mythics?
Because, oh, they're definitely going to stumble through.
Yes, but
I was just going to say, like, that you can have like a little pixie who just finds that growing her garden, the kind of garden that she likes, the climate is way better on the other side. And so she like hops over, tends to her flowers. I don't know, something silly.
Okay. But I think the only reason why I'm kind of scooting away from that is I kind of like the idea of Carl remaining a skeptic. And if you introduce an element like that so soon, and if Carl stumbles upon the fairy...
I'm not going to say that he sees the fairy. It's just the fairy is using the portal to get to the world.
Oh, so you're saying this might be the explanation of why there's a portal there.
Yeah, why the portal opened is that a fairy's going the other direction. So they don't even see the fairy.
And the fairy is remaining invisible.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, because I like the idea that Carl and Luis doesn't discover the mythics until they're in the other world.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think that that is,
but it would be funny if there are mythics that do come and go, and they through their technology or their magical abilities, whichever, you know.
And it might not be like tending a garden. What if they actually have to have a really, really strong visa on their passports before they're allowed to access portals? Maybe some portals are more tied off than others, so you have to have higher clearance. And so broken worlds such as our, like the Earth that we're on, might have a much higher clearance for a mythic to come here versus other worlds that are probably way more accessible.
See, I do like the idea of it being more than one world. Like,
I do
it'd
too.
Be cool, kind of like that there is a web of systems that they can connect to. And we've been cut off from this web.
Yeah, and that there's an in-between world.
A gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Or a station of sorts.
A station that maybe has portals that connect a lot of different worlds if you can see the portals. An airport, if you will. A way station. A train station.
So it's a world of portals, essentially.
Yeah,
so that means now Luis and Carl have stumbled onto a world of portals. And so,
but how well is that? Is it highly organized?
Now the question is the portals, okay, the portals are invisible in our world, but maybe in this world it's not. Maybe in this world you actually can see the doorways or the gateways. I kind of can imagine, I don't know why I'm kind of getting this vision of like a world where you see the starry landscape and you have like a pink glow on top of the earth of the world that they have now entered into. Maybe it's like a pink grass or pink. I'm just seeing kind of like a pink image and then like little gateway, like golden arches scattered about. That'd be a really cool visual.
I love the idea of the arches, and there's probably lots of different styles. Maybe the different arches kind of represent the different worlds that they're connected to. So golden arches for some of them, maybe some of the arches are just indicated by twigs that are kind of just placed in there. I kind of like the idea that humans probably still can't see the portals, but maybe Louise is actually able to build a device that can start detecting them. She knows when they're next to one, but maybe she still can't see it. And maybe,
or she can't control it whatsoever.
Yeah. But in their journey, you know, they befriend a mythic who does take her side and wants to show her these things. And so the mythic that they befriend helps them go through the portals.
And I like the idea. I don't think this fairy that went through their portal should be the one, because
no.
I think it needs to be a situation where they do get a little lost. They do need to get a little lost, where they can't remember or can't figure out how to get back to their particular world. She just knows that they're from a broken, they learned that they're from a broken world, but what if there's many other broken worlds? They're not the only world that's been severed off.
Yeah.
And so they meet the, I just see this really jolly blue dragon. They just meet this really jolly blue dragon who's quirky and has a sense of humor. And he's like, which world are you from? Where are you trying to go? And at least until the end.
A really cute like pair of spectacles on this dragon. He's like, let me check my ledger.
There's 1,843 broken world. Where are you? Which one?
And like, who let you in?
You're not a keeper? You were not invited? How did you get here?
Which means that her world would have to have a keeper. I think that severed worlds would probably still have just a light touch of representation, so to speak.
Actually, that would be cool. What if there was a society, a hidden society? Maybe the fairy that was coming through is mm-hmm. one of those who monitors and observes and has the ability to remain hidden. Mm-hmm. But what if they are secretly selecting keepers? And so there are still keepers that are coming from our world, or this mm-hmm. world that Luis and Carl are from. And
yeah, well, and I was going to say
determined that at first, maybe they're mistaken for keepers, like newly mm-hmm. assigned keepers. Mm-hmm. But it then comes out, they have to play along.
Well, right, especially when they can't show their passports. Because I kind of see like their passports at least being able to show what world they're from. Everybody has like this identifier that shows what world that they're from. I love the idea, though, that this fairy, I could see a whole subplot of this fairy standing trial for letting these unknown creatures into the gate world. And the fairy like either trying to seek vengeance and trying to get back at them for walking through, like
getting her in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And so maybe there's a little bit of a rivalry, and whichever mythic ends up befriending Louise and Carl, this fairy is very upset. Maybe they have like a personal connection. Like, how dare you? Like,
I think too, we're completely missing. Like, we've established who Louise and Carl are as characters, but mm-hmm. how are they reacting when they see the blue dragon?
I really see Louise as like a, I told you so. I knew it,
but they have to keep quiet because they have to pretend. They have to go along with it. And I can just see Carl with his look of dismay, of like almost cynicism, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. in the whole moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're having to play along until they get found out.
But can they? Can they play along? How long do they last before they end up in front of our blue dragon friend?
I think they have to go along with the blue dragon long enough for mm-hmm. them to get lost and to end up where they're not supposed to be with the blue mm-hmm. dragon, and they can't figure out how to get back.
It's called the blue dragon Frankie.
Well, this is a different world. Felixius.
Felixius. Okay.
Felixius.
Felix for short.
Yes.
Or maybe they call him Felix and he doesn't like it.
Yes. I like that even more.
It is Felixius.
Felixius. You're not calling me by my proper name.
I wouldn't to pronounce my entire name. It'd be a waste of my flaming breath. Oh, Felixius. Felixius is a cute name.
It is a cute name.
No, I want a blue dragon named Felixius. Okay, so I guess then the direction that our story is going is, do they become keepers? Are they allowed to represent their world, even though they are also trespassing? Mm-hmm. And I want to know more about severed worlds. How did a world become severed? Why would a world become severed?
Yeah, and I think it becomes severed because there must be a council of some sort that's overseeing everything mm-hmm. and monitoring. And I think maybe kind of like in Star Trek, there's a prime directive, or mm-hmm. maybe there's some type of qualification, a directory, if you will. And for whatever reason, our planet did not cut it. And so we got cut off.
Yeah, I mean, Earth is definitely cut off.
And it could be
It seems like her planet, where Luis is from, it seems like they were connected a lot longer than we were. Because mm-hmm. our last records pretty much are like ancient China, ancient Egypt, but that was thousands of years ago.
We're part of a severed world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I was going with. I mean, you mentioned Sphinx. So yeah. Her world had sphinxes and our world had sphinxes.
So we had the sphinx and the dragons and the fairies. And so we all had uh-huh. the same mythics.
Yeah, because they're the same races.
Yeah.
But we got cut off a long time ago. And hers is probably much longer, more recent.
Which is why she's able to find the texts that have the explanations and mm-hmm. the clues to these being true beings versus symbolic beings of representation and mm-hmm. ideas.
Which, whatever happened like back then, it was almost universally agreed by all the governments or whoever the leaders were back when the world was severed. They're like, yeah, it's all a fluke. It's none of it happened. You guys are crazy. And just starts gaslighting everybody about the fact that mythical creatures used to be there and now they're not. Part of me kind of wonders if maybe the society or the worlds that exist in between still have a lot of effect on what happens because the worlds are still connected through these portals, mm-hmm. that maybe the Keeper's responsibilities are to more or less represent their world so that they still have a say in what happens in this conglomerate of different worlds. And maybe the Keepers universally agreed, like, yeah, you know, our world needs to be severed, at least mm-hmm. for now. We have to sever right now. But the Keepers are to maintain so that there still is an ounce of representation so that they can still speak and represent their world.
Yeah. I was just thinking about our world and mm-hmm. the show about ancient aliens and pyramids and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And I'm like,
not Stargate, what if it's History aliens? Channel stuff, right?
What if it's this whole time has been the mythics?
Yeah. The Sphinx. Mm-hmm. You know, what if the Sphinx, and I'm pretty sure that a whole line of mythical cats, you know, the Egyptian cats and the Egyptian jackals.
What if our house cats are descended from these mythic cats and they're mm-hmm. like, ah, we'll let you keep them.
Okay, but how often do you see a cat staring into blank space?
All the time.
What if they're looking through the portal?
What if cats have the ability to see portals?
But they can't remember how to access the portal.
Our world have cats. Does that mean their world, the world of Luis and Carl, do they not have cats?
Could you imagine a scene at the beginning of the book? It's like, and what happened to the cats?
That would be so cute.
You mean those mythical creatures that never existed?
The quintessential house pet? Don't tell the dog lovers.
Yeah, the dog stayed behind. The cats are gone.
The cats are gone. But we got to keep the cats.
We got to keep our cats.
Our cats.
But Sarah, what if the Keepers of our world are the cats?
What if they decided not to choose humans for our world and were being represented by cats?
What if our world is the only world that has cats?
Cat like, guardians.
We're the litter
we're the,
box.
We're the only broken world that got to maintain our cats.
Yeah. And cats are full-fledged mythic creatures that we got to, that are completely out in the open, probably because they just know how to blend in so well. But remember, the feline domesticated itself. They were not domesticated by humans. They domesticated themselves. And that takes some level of intelligence going on there. I mean, they have a pretty clutch life. You know, it's pretty comfortable.
So that's kind of scary. We're being judged and monitored by our cats.
It makes sense. Cats are the internet.
That's true.
I mean, last I checked, they probably invented the internet. Let's be real.
They've been admired since ancient Egypt, and we keep on the tradition.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, a human from Earth. No. Where are your cats? I'll talk to the cats.
All right. So back to Luis and Carl. Where do we want to take this?
I think that they would have to. There's got to be a fun adventure where they are just running on the run, trying to figure out their place and what's going on. What if a cat from Earth, like an Earth cat, is the mythic that befriends them? Because like, oh, look at humans.
Well, we
like,
have
this
Felix.
Is fun.
We have to have Felix. So now there has to be two mythic creatures that join them.
Right. I see Felix probably still like holding a position because Felix has the ledger. So Felix probably is the person that gets them into Keeper status. But maybe the cats are like, if you guys want to see another severed world, I got one for you. You'll fit right in. And maybe they get to come and explore Earth because maybe their mythic cat is actually a household pet on Earth. trying to imagine that they have their own personal portal, like in their kitty litter.
The question is,
and they're trying to pull Luis through. Luis is like crawling through a cat. Like a never mind.
But the question is, do we want how would Luis and Carl take to being in Earth 2021 after 2020?
Maybe Luis is like, oh, maybe this is why this world is severed.
And they're only here for a few moments and they're like, okay, we can go.
Let's go.
Back.
Let's get out.
We're getting out. But it would be kind of funny because they are having to find the world and they've lost.
Yeah.
They're just one of hundreds of severed worlds. And so somewhere in there, they stumble across our Earth. Okay, what's your idea?
Okay. No. I have an idea. Okay, so because of the fairy opening the gateway to mm-hmm. do whatever type of monitoring the fairy was doing, Luis and Carl fall in, okay? They end up in the gate world between. Mm-hmm. Which has all the arches, they have all the things that are
that they may
around.
Or may not be able to see.
That they, well, they can see the arches. They just can't,
but they can't
see,
see
the
other portals. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, so they can't see the portals, but they can see the arches. And they saw that they just fell through an arch, mm-hmm. right? What if Felix notices them and says, hey, like, who are you? And like, is trying to chase them down. So they run from Felix and trip into Earth, our Earth. Mm. And so they fall in. They're now on our side of things. They trip through our portal because it, you know, kind of just, even though it's severed, it just kind of blips and opens like here and there. And that's where they meet a cat on our side. Total regular household pet. Total regular cat, right? They mm-hmm. they have like their little kitty door. They're an indoor-outdoor cat. And the cat kind of looks up at them and says, oh, you're not from here. Where are you from? And then the cat's like, okay, let me get you back. We need to go back to the gate world. Come on, follow me. And so they're talking to this cat. The cat fully can talk, no issues whatsoever. And the cat is only talking because the cat knows you're not human. You're not from Earth.
Well,
I need to
get human.
You home again. Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, they're human.
So they're human. Okay, I take that back.
But the cat being a sensor.
The energy signature is different.
Yeah, they can tell. The cat can tell.
Your energy is different. I can see your aura. Your aura is not the same as an Earth human. And so the cat's like, I need to get you back to the gate. And so that's where they meet the cat companion and they become very close. And the cat's like, I need to be back for supper.
I got some tuna.
Got some tuna coming. Got to get my tuna. And so they go, the cat takes them back through the gate. And that begins this wild adventure of exploring and understanding the world.
I do like the Felix, the Jolly Felix. So at some point, Jolly Felix has to meet up with them again.
Oh, he will. He will.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, that brings them back to the gate world. And Felix, after chasing them down quite a bit more. And Felix probably might be one of the ones where he's like, I'm not touching a severed world. No. And like, probably
he's
like freaked
out
by
that arrogance. I only deal with those that are pure in nature.
And for some reason, all cats are pure in nature. So he's totally cool with cats. In fact, Earth cats like to kind of pounce on Felix. And you can see Felix, like if Felix is on break, just like covered in, you know, seven cats who are just all purring.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, I kind of see, you know, Felix and, oh, what are we going to name the cat? Mittens. No.
Fluffy.
Fluffy. What if the cat is from Japan and is named Fua Fua?
What?
Fua Fua is the Japanese word for fluffy.
Fua Fua?
Fua Fua.
Fua Fua. Fua Fua.
It's one of their onomatopoeia sound effects. Fua Fua is the sound effect of fluffy. Or maybe just foie. Foie for sure.
I like foie.
Foie.
Sounds French.
Maybe the cat is actually from French and they're like, oh, I always thought my name was French. Maybe it is Japanese. Oh,
it's a Persian.
No.
It's a Persian cat named mm-hmm. foie in Japan.
Foie. Le foie.
Le foie. Are there Persian cats? Yeah, there's Persian cats, right?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
That's going to be a Persian cat. I've decided.
A Persian cat named foie.
Foie.
But yeah, so Foie.
The Merry Adventures
and Felix.
Of Luis, Carl, Foie, and Felix.
Foie and Felix. Oh, that's cute. I like it.
and at some point,
they can go on so many incredible adventures.
Though I do kind of like the idea of I can see Luis becoming a keeper. The question is, does Carl become a keeper and does he want to be a keeper?
What if keepers serve different roles? What if some keepers stay, you know, more on the gate world side of things and then some keepers actually stay on their planet? Hmm. And so maybe in order to get him off trial, he had to accept the keeper's position. But he's like, can I just go home? I just want to go home now.
Yeah, I can see that. Yay, I think we have our story.
Yeah, we do. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, I like it. Foie. What a cutie pie, Felix. Mm-hmm. and honestly, I almost see that the main characters that we follow might more be on the side of Foie and Felix. And in different books, we don't necessarily see, what's her name again? Luis. We don't really see Luis and Carl as much. They might make guest appearance, but if
I
this
see
were
Luis
more of
more
like
than
a kid's.
Carl.
Yeah. If this were more of like a kid series, then I really think that the more of the reoccurring characters would be Foie and Felix.
Hmm. I like it.
Where, you know, they get to help other people and maybe they get maybe their mission is to help unsever severed worlds.
Hmm.
So I think there's a lot of cute things that we could do here.
Yeah.
Oh, this was fun.
Well, thank you so much, Steven,
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of Creators Playbook. If you want to find us, we are on Twitter. We are at Creators PB Pod. We are also on Facebook. If you search for Creators Playbook, we will be the first that pops up. And of course, if you want to chat about this episode, you will find the hashtag down in the show note. And that's it. Do you have any last thoughts for us, Sarah?
No, just besides, have fun creating.
Go make incredible adventures for your characters. Explore a portal. What will a portal do for you? Who made the portal? Where does the portal go? Let us know. We can't wait to see what you guys think. You guys are the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So cute. Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.